Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free, Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of Coda's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use Coda Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on Coda. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com. Last trip planner.
Welcome to Monsters Among Us. I'm your guide, Derek Hayes. Welcome back to another installment. It is, as always, a pleasure to have you here with us tonight. And I have one heck of a show slated for this evening. Shadow people, headless ghosts, pale creatures, and even a story about the wild man of the woods himself. But first, a reminder that if you love the show, give us a rate and review, a social media mention, or just tell a friend about us. As always, we rely heavily on grassroots growth, and well, we ain't growing if I'm not asking. So throw us a bone and share the show today. Now, let's ready tonight's content. We kick things off in the state of Oregon. Phoebe, welcome to tonight's program.
Hi, my name is Phoebe. I'm from Eastern Oregon, and my story takes place when I was, I think, 6 or 7 years old. I was over at my friend's house and lived in a very small town at the time. She also lived kind of in the central part of the little town, and we're just playing in her house, and she had this big bay window looking out. There's a driveway, and then past that, her parents had a cornfield. And the cornfield, there, you know, I think, I don't even know what time of year it was, maybe the end of the summertime. It was a bright, like, sunny day. I'm pretty sure we were, like, the only ones in the house, and we were, you know, just playing on the couch. I don't even know why, but we're, you know, facing not the window. And for whatever reason, we both decide to kind of like, I don't know if we hear a noise or if we just both get this urge to like peek over the couch and look out the window. So we both look out the window, and in the cornfield, I swear, and she must have saw it too because it scared us. So we like kind of tucked back under the couch and like, you know, we're both like freaking out, kind of like our heart is racing and we're like, what was that? So when we peer over the couch, we see this like, well, at least I see this huge creature, you know, it's taller than the corn and it's like hairy to me. And the face is like, not really like a human face, but just something that kind of resembles a human. I mean, to me, I swear it was a Bigfoot. And I don't know if, like, at that time, I mean, I don't think I ever really knew what a Bigfoot was, because growing up, like, I wasn't really allowed to watch TV or to really watch anything that was scary. And, I mean, this was at least, you know, 30 years ago. So we didn't really have TV growing up. We didn't really watch movies a lot. So, yeah, just to this day, I feel like I saw Bigfoot. And unfortunately, like, I don't remember really talking to her about it. And she moved away. And I always want to, like, find her, you know, somehow and, like, you know, ask her. Because it always stuck with me what I saw and was it real and, you know, just the sheer, like, panic that we had. I mean, she was panicky, too. So I don't know if we were just scared because, like, I think we might have been alone in the house. I don't remember where our parents were at the time. But so, yeah, that was my encounter, what I think was a Bigfoot. And just, you know, when we peeked back over to the couch, like, it was gone. And I don't remember what happened after that. I don't know if we were, like, scared and then we went to go find our parents or what. But, so yeah, that's really stuck with me forever. And I've always been very interested in Bigfoot and just scary movies and just scary different things growing up. And really interested in kind of wanting to see more. And, I mean, I guess that's the only thing that's really ever happened to me. So yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Phoebe. Now, I grew up around corn, so I know firsthand how creepy it can be between the rows. There's something unsettling about the fields this time of year. The corn is pretty high. You can get disoriented pretty easily. You know, they turn those things into mazes for a reason. And somehow I'd always thought that there were monsters out in the corn when I was a youngster. Either known monsters, a bear, a pack of coyotes or something, or the imagined, the shadows slipping between the rows, the scarecrow you swear you just saw move, or in Phoebe's situation, a Sasquatch-like creature peeking between the stalks. And now if you think about it, if there are creatures like that out there, Bigfeet, we'll call them, it makes perfect sense that they would be attracted to fields of corn. Not only is it a good place to hide out, but it's also a perfect food supply. And that's not to mention all the animals that the corn brings in that a monster could feed off of. Deer, squirrel, rats, insects. The list continues. And trust me when I say there is plenty of corn out there. Last year alone, the U.S. produced 15.3 billion bushel of corn. Now, a bushel is about the size of a normal round laundry basket. So, that's a lot of corn. Now, if this symbiotic relationship is real, then we have to suspect that other people have seen Bigfoot in and around cornfields. And based on our research, that seems to be the case, just as I suspected it would be. And the following is an example of one of those experiences. This report was submitted to the BFRO website and took place near Kenton, Tennessee, back in 2007. I was probably 12 at the time, and it was the summer, so my grandparents would allow my sister, 10 at the time, and I to have sleepovers at their house. There were probably 7 of us staying over that night, and we had been outside all day and were all from the area. Around 11 p.m., we decided to go outside because we were being loud and my grandparents had gone to bed. We had done this probably half a dozen times over the summer. And we had been outside for probably 30 minutes to an hour when we started to hear odd noises in the cornfield across the road and the sound of cornstalks breaking. This continued over the next probably 20 to 30 minutes as a bunch of 10 to 12-year-old girls, we ignored the sounds and kept talking. All while my grandparents' 3 dogs were sitting in front of us, tails tucked, growling like something was in the cornfield that was maybe 50 yards from where we were sitting. We heard a loud scream from the cornfield as something came out of the field right in front of us. It was a tall humanoid creature, covered in dark brown hair that was slightly taller than the corn, which was about 6 or 7 feet at the time. We looked at the creature and took off running back toward the house, leaving all of our things outside. Those are two eerily similar stories, submitted from opposite sides of the country. The one common denominator, aside from the 8-foot hairy hominid, was corn. Interesting stuff, Phoebe, and we thank you for sharing it here with us. I can only imagine how deeply the image of that creature emerging from the corn is burned into your memory. But boy, does it make for a great, scary story.
Transferred to a reportedly missed his cross-country flight due to tactical
wisdom. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.
America's social casino.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the Transit app or at COTA.com.
With Bellman Pavers, you will promise.
Now tonight's next entry takes us to the state of Illinois. Please welcome Deb to the program.
Hey Derek, this is Deb from southeastern Illinois again. I was listening to this week's episode, number 13, season 17, where the young woman was talking about the soldier, the Civil War soldier that appeared. When I was a little kid, my grandparents lived in front of, it was like a half a block away, if you want to measure it in city blocks, a cemetery. And it was an old family Civil War cemetery. And my grandfather would take care of it. He would mow it and trim down the weeds and everything. And being the creepy little kid that I was, I would hang out there. That was my place to get away from all my brothers and sisters, because there were six of us. I would just hang out there. I would sit under the trees and read, or if it was a really hot day, I know this is really creepy, but I would lay on one of the big tombstones because it was nice and cool on my back, but it was hot with the sun shining down. So anyway, I guess I had a connection with the cemetery. One night, all the kids were in bed. It had to have been 9 o'clock or so. And this headless Civil War soldier appeared at the foot of my bed. Now, I realized it was an omen and he was trying to warn me of something. But as a kid, it scared the bejeebus out of me. And I ran downstairs to tell my mom and grandparents about it. And when I got downstairs, I was being told immediately when I hit the bottom landing that my mom was engaged and getting married. Now I know that was a bad thing, and that soldier who apparently was my friend from the cemetery was trying to warn me of this whole marriage thing. But it just reminded me of that, and I've never forgotten it. It was kind of weird because Civil War was one of my favorite things, and I would draw pictures and things of it. Then my grandmother would help me because she was an artist. Anyway, there we go. That's another story from my childhood, and I've got a bazillion of them. So I'll be calling back. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Deb. You know, I used to hang out at a cemetery, too. There was a 250-year-old graveyard back behind my grandparents' house. Anytime we went over there, which was often, we would walk over the fields, through the woods, to this little forgotten boneyard. And of course, we would also go and hang out there at night as well. Because why wouldn't we? So what I'm saying here, Deb, is you're not that creepy. And if you are, you're in good company. But a headless Civil War ghost, that's not something you see every day. And for good reason, as I'm sure a vision like that would be life-altering. Now, I do have a bit of an idea in hopes of identifying the ghost you have, Deb. All the pieces are there. You just have to find out who is buried in that cemetery, and find out who among them served in the Civil War. Then research when, where, and how that person or those persons died. It may be easier said than done, but if you find out that one of those poor souls was in fact beheaded on the field, then I'm going to assume you have your man. What you do with that info after that, I do not know. But at the very least, that man's very existence lends credence to your sighting. After all, if there turns out to be a headless soldier entombed there, that pretty much verifies what you saw. Either way, it was a great story. Spooky and sad, but great. And we can't thank you enough for sharing it here with us. Now, if you also have a story you'd like to submit, call our hotline at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or just record your story in the form of a voice memo on your cell phone and email it to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Now, time is running out to get those hometown legend calls in, as well as those amusement worker calls. Just say the words hometown legend or amusement in the beginning of your call, and I'll have Delaney keep an eye out for them. Now, this next entry takes us to Western Pennsylvania. Please welcome our anonymous caller.
Hey, Derek. I want to stay anonymous for this. I will just say that I'm from Pennsylvania. I was listening to another podcast and I heard a story that is eerily similar to mine. I've never really told anybody this story, and I just immediately thought to call you. So here it goes. I used to work at a big box store, like a store that would sell, like, you know, lumber, like a hardware store, but like one of the big corporate ones. And I worked out in the lots, you know, gathering carts, loading people's cars and things. And I was working late one night, and we had a huge parking lot. And we'll say closest to the store, we have big lights that covered the whole parking lot. And closest to the store, we'll call it Section 1. Then we had Section 2, Section 3, Section 4. Section 4 was the back of the parking lot. Usually late at night, Section 4 would be dark because nobody was in the back of the parking lot. And Section 3, you know, if I had to go back there for anything, they would turn on if people would come through the parking lot. But this night, I had some stuff to do in the further parts of the parking lot. I did not go into Section 4. I had to go into Section 3 to get carts. And as I got into Section 3, I got this overwhelming feeling to look up. I looked up, and I could see stars. And then I could see what I thought were stars, but they looked really close. And as I was watching, they started to move. And I saw this cloak, gigantic, triangle-shaped something. It was very large. I couldn't even fathom how big it was. It was a very, very large something. I don't even know what to call it. But the weird thing about it, it was cloaked. I thought I was able to see the night sky through it. But I realized the bottom of it was like shimmering. It was giving the illusion of being stars. They were way too close, and they were kind of like flickering or, you know, shining. It was really weird. I really can't explain it, but it was similar to stars, like sparkling. That's all I could say. And I was really focused on this. I saw this. I remember there was no noise. Absolutely zero noise whatsoever. Not just like from what I was seeing in the sky, but all around me, I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear like ringing in my ears, but it was just a complete absence of sound while I was looking up at this craft or whatever it was. Another thing is, I know I sound like just nervous talking about this because I never really told anybody about this before, but I guess, like I said, I was listening to another podcast and I heard someone kind of describing the same thing. And I don't know, I guess it really, hearing someone kind of experience something that even remotely similar, just kind of weird to me. And I guess I just putting together the absence, the sound, the, you know, the cloaking, like I thought I was seeing through it, but, you know, just kind of overall seeing this gigantic triangular shape, just the shimmering stars. Whatever was on the bottom of it, just shimmering and, you know, looking like stars, it just really freaked me out. The next thing I knew, I was standing in complete darkness. The light sensors I had mentioned before usually would go off maybe like a half hour to an hour. I don't know how long I was standing there, but I was standing in darkness in Section 3. Section 1 and Section 2 were lit up because I guess people had been coming in and out of the store. I wasn't standing in like the middle of the parking lot. I was kind of off to the side because, like I said, I was grabbing carts and stuff. So I don't know how long I was standing there. This was over 20 years ago now, so I can't really recall. It was really strange. And I heard something on another podcast, and it just made me think of it, so I thought I'd call. I don't know what it was. I'm sure would like to. If anybody's had anything like this or you might have any ideas, feel free to share. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Well, I don't exactly know what it is that you saw, but I can tell you that I've heard reports just like this many times before. In fact, we pulled a few reports from the National UFO Reporting Center that seems to describe the exact same thing. Here are the highlights of those reports. Sighting 47542, an event that took place in Cure Beach, North Carolina, back in November of 2005. It appeared as if it was trying to reflect the stars of the sky in the background. Sighting 33376, a November 2003 sighting out of Colorado Springs, Colorado. It was clear. I could see the stars right through it. Sighting 47772 from Longmont, Colorado, all the way back in June of 2001. That was until this group of stars and night sky went in front of a large cloud. Sighting 131321 in Portland, Oregon from 1116. Transparent and shimmering, triangular, completely silent. And I have several other submissions in my bank that also seem to describe something similar. But more on those in a future episode. But for now, one report is pretty interesting. Two reports, well, that's intriguing. But dozens of reports of the exact same craft, displaying the exact same cloaking mechanism, from all over the country. I don't know much, but I can promise you that there is something unusual going on here. What that something is? The military interdimensional travelers. Aliens. I don't have a clue. But I thank you again, caller, for adding a data point. I get this funny feeling that eventually we'll get to the bottom of this triangular mystery. Now, folks, we have to take a quick break to help pay some bills. But I'll be right back with a Shadow Man entry that'll make your blood run cold. I'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got you.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
CODA salutes those who've served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
Mania, you did it, Pete.
Okay, so next up is a reminder that you never know who or what might be following you around. Amanda out of California. Welcome to tonight's program.
Hello, my name is Amanda. I'm calling from California, and I have two stories to share that are similar. They just took place a few decades apart. So the first one took place in 1990 when I was 9 years old. That year, we lived with my grandma, and my brother and I shared a room, and my parents, they had the room across the hall. In our room, our bed, which we shared, was in the corner of the room, the far corner of the room. On this particular night, I woke up. I was sleeping against the wall, with my back against the wall and my head in that far corner. And my brother was sleeping on the edge of the bed. So I was facing his back. We were both on our sides. My back was to the wall, and I woke up because I thought I had heard somebody calling me. So I listened in the house to see if I could hear anything, if somebody was up. Sometimes my grandma got up really early and she would start cooking, but there was nothing. It was silent. And I figured I must have been dreaming or something. So I told myself, just go back to sleep. No big deal. And as soon as I decided, like, it was nothing, I'm going to go back to sleep, I heard my name. It was a female-ish voice, but it wasn't familiar, and it was coming from the corner of the room where my head was. And there's no way that anybody could be there. It almost sounded like it was above me as well. The mental image that I had in my mind from hearing that was somebody was standing on the headboard up in the corner, and that's where the sound felt like it came from. I immediately froze. I could feel my blood go cold. I was very afraid. The voice wasn't familiar. I didn't know where it was coming from, what it was coming from. And I stopped breathing. I remember holding my breath and not wanting to get noticed at all. And I slowly moved my hand over to my brother and I pinched him as hard as I could. And I yelled, "Run." We both got up and ran towards the door and turned on the light. My dad came in, we ran and told them. And he came in and he checked the room and there was nothing there. No one. And that's all I remember of that event. Fast forward to a couple of months ago. I'm coming to work on a Saturday. I work in a 5-story building that was built in 1924. There are several independent businesses on each floor, like 5 businesses on each floor. At the very bottom, though, there's a big bank. I'm at the top floor, and the businesses that are up here, they're hardly ever in the office. Maybe once or twice a week I'll see someone else up here. But on Saturdays, this building is pretty empty. And I come in fairly early. I'm a lash tech. So I start at 7:30 on this Saturday morning, and I'm running a little late. So I get up here to the top floor, I exit the elevator, turn the corner to walk down the corridor to my office. It's silent. I can hear, because they're having a car show downtown, that's where the building is, outside. I can hear them setting up. I can hear, you know, through the windows outside, like I can hear the city. It's so quiet in the building. Well, I'm walking towards my suite. I get halfway here and I hear my name called from behind me. And I immediately think, oh, my client's here. She probably took the stairs. That's why I didn't hear the elevator. I turn around, fully expecting to see someone and to greet them, and there's nobody there. It's silent. I didn't get scared. I just thought it was really odd, and it was so distinct and clear. My name was so clear that I felt compelled to say yes down the hall. And I did, and there was no response. There was nothing. It just felt very strange. And I was so sure I heard it. I was not under the influence of alcohol or drugs. It was clear. But there was nobody there. So that's my story, my two stories. Very similar, but yeah, I don't know what that could have been. I guess there are like auditory hallucinations, that's a possibility. So strange though that it was my name both times. And I haven't had that experience any other time. But I love the show. I listen to it while I work. I have lots of clients that I've turned on to the show. Some of them request to listen to it during their services. You're doing a great job. I enjoy it. Keep it up. Thank you. Take care.
Thanks, Amanda. And thanks for forcing your clients to listen to the show. We'll take those downloads any way we can get them. Now put yourself in Amanda's shoes. You have this wild experience where a disembodied voice spoke in your ear. Eerie, right? Unsettling, even. Now imagine that years and years have passed, and you've by now conceded that it was a one-time event. That's when it happens again. Now, I do not envy you at all on this one, Amanda, because I suppose you never know when that voice might come back. But I do thank you for calling in. And I also want to give you a good sister award for saving your brother. I think most siblings would have just jetted out of the room, leaving the kid brother to fend for himself against whatever it is that's in there. So good on you for bringing him out of the path of danger as well. Now, folks, I want to remind you real fast that you can pick up tons of badass merch over at our merch shop. Just visit MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click the shop tab. Shirts, bags, hats, stickers, patches, pins, tons of stuff that you absolutely need to buy to keep the show fully supported. All purchases go directly back to the show or go to the artists and or printers that put these amazing pieces of art together. Again, that's MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click the shop tab. Don't forget, there's a few more weeks of the Dogman Days of Summer sale remaining. So get you something while everything is 15% off. Now, folks, this next entry is that Shadow Man story that I teased a bit back. Carolina from New York. Welcome to the show.
Hello, my name is Carolina. I live in Long Island, New York, but I was born and raised in Costa Rica. So what happened, it didn't happen here, it happened back there. So when I was in high school, we have a group of friends. We were all girls. One of them told us one time that she had an encounter with a shadow person visiting her at her room at night. She'll describe him as no face, but he had red eyes and he was wearing a hat. She said that he told her his name. His name was either Joseph or Joshua. Now these names are not very popular in Costa Rica, or they weren't very popular at that time. This was about 20 years ago. She will tell us that he'll come to her room and talk to her. She wasn't afraid because she didn't feel he was evil, but she didn't feel he was nice either. So she never told us what he'll talk to her about. We kind of like never believe her because we felt that she was trying to be the center of attention of the group and try to be cool. We'll tell her like, oh, we don't believe you, like, that's not true. And she'll tell us like, oh, come to my house, sleep in my room, and you'll be able to see him. So we went, we spent the night at her room, but nothing happened. So we were like done with this situation, like never believe what she said. We told it was part of her imagination, or she just was trying to be the center of attention. I've never heard of shadow people before after like she told us about him. until I started listening to your podcast. I'm currently in season 4. So once you describe a little bit about like shadow people, and you said that they'll have sometimes red eyes or wear a hat, and that's how she'll describe him. So when you said that on the podcast, my mind clicked. And then I remember what my friend will talk about. I completely forgot about this situation because this was, like I say, like 20 years ago. So when you say like those things about shadow people, like my mind, like, started remembering. And it's not something that you'll hear in the Costa Rican folklore, like shadow people. I've never heard, like I said, I've never heard about like shadow people. Costa Rican has like some folklore. It has the cadejos, which is a dog, a huge dog that has chains all around his body. And when you listen to the chains, that means the cadejos is coming and get your soul. And then we have La Llorona. I'm sure you've heard about her too. And then we have other folklore creatures, but shadow people is not part of it. It's not part of our folklore, so I've never heard of shadow people. So now that I've like heard in your podcast like all the stories, now I kind of like believe her. Unfortunately, we lost touch after high school. We all went to different colleges. I came to the United States and I lost touch with her because I would love to ask her more about her encounter with this shadow person. Back there, we didn't have internet. Like I say, it's 20 years ago. We didn't have internet. We didn't have cable. We just have like national TV. So there was no way that we can say like, oh, she probably saw it on internet about shadow people, and she says she's seen one. But it's very strange that something that's not part of a discussion in Costa Rica, like it's not part of the folklore. Again, it's very strange that she was able to describe him as a lot of witnesses have described him. So now I do believe it's true. She probably had a shadow person in her room talking to her. And I wish I could give her a call and ask her for more details. But yeah, that's my friend's story. I love your podcast. I'm still in season 4, so I'm sure that I still have a lot of great episodes to go. So, yeah, that's it. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Carolina. Beware the shadow man named Josh. Somehow the name just doesn't seem to fit. But in a reminder here that I know very little about religious things. But isn't Joshua a variation of Jesus? It originated as Yeshua, I think. I believe that's how the Joshua trees here in SoCal got their names. The Mormon pioneers renamed them after their God when they passed through a few hundred years ago. Now, not to bring religion into all this, but I couldn't help but notice that correlation. Or maybe just that coincidence. Although I did like the fact that you stayed at your friend's house in hopes of seeing something. But like most ghost investigations, one night is never enough. But I suppose the moral of the story here is to be a little more open-minded. You might be right. She might have been making all of this up, or even been mistaken. But given the hundreds of calls I've received exactly like her account, you might be wrong as well. Either way, thank you again, Carolina, for sharing your story. Now, last week, Sarah and I took an impromptu trip down to Tucson, Arizona. We'd never been there. We have friends in the area. He met a Jessica, and we just had to get out of town for a couple of days. And while we were there, it began to dawn on me that that area is a special place. Tons of energy. Lots of vibe as well. So I figured, let's share a call from Tucson and see just how spooky the place really is. So please welcome Ash from Tucson, Arizona.
Hi, my name is Ash, and I'm from Tucson, Arizona. And this actually just happened to me. I was listening to season 14, episode 11 of Monsters Among Us, and I was driving down what we know as Valencia Road, heading west toward Three Points. And out of nowhere, I see these two glowing orange lights that weren't there, and then they were there for what felt like probably just a split second. I noticed them, and then all of a sudden they just faded out real quickly, and there was no trail, like no flare trail or anything like that. What really stuck with me is that they were there and then they weren't, and they were pretty far apart, but you could tell that they were the same thing, whatever they were. But yeah, I just thought that was interesting because I was just listening to this episode I mentioned at the beginning of this message, and there were some things about Tucson and UFOs, so I thought that was really cool. But anyway, I love your podcast, and thanks so much for having the show, and I hope you have a great day.
Strange fireballs in the sky. That's a pretty good start there, Tucson. And thank you, Ash, for sharing the entry. Now, Davis-Monthan Air Force Base is down that direction, but I have no idea how active the airspace is. At least militarily, because ufologically, it seems to be super active. I mean, this is what airs on the nightly news down there, courtesy of KGUN News 9 out of Southern Arizona.
We're not alone in seeing the lights. Tucson businesswoman Nancy Aguirre had an encounter as a child that started with a flash of light in her bedroom window.
And then I remember I felt someone was there. And then I saw a hand, like a gray hand. I don't think it had nails. And I was just so scared. And then I wake up in the morning.
Tucson Mutual UFO Network members shared their stories with us. As a six-year-old living near the border of Mexico, Maria Miranda says she had her encounter with a tall, thin alien standing in the doorway of a spaceship.
And he came down and he extended his hand to me. I stepped back because I was afraid, but I was interested and I wanted to be there. So I extended my hand too, so we just thought fingers.
We see the orange orbs and we see just various different lights that you can't really account for. We would see this huge triangular craft. It was huge and it had orange lights at the corners, but you could see through it.
I heard a few familiar details mentioned there. The triangle that you can see through. There you go, Anonymous out of PA. Sounds exactly like what you were talking about in your entry. And did you catch the mention of orange orbs? Just like what Ash reported. Coincidence, or are we onto something? And you know, if that wasn't enough, in my digging I uncovered a video that was captured over the Tucson area that seems to also depict what appears to be some sort of orange fireballs. Maybe flares, maybe something else. Now hit up the show notes at monstersamonguspodcast.com to have a look. Especially you, Ash. Let me know if that's what you saw. But given all this new information, I'd like to add spooky to my list of adjectives that describe the greater Southeast Arizona area. A big thanks to Ash for calling in. And thanks to Tucson for keeping it weird.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
Delaware's beautiful. I heard radio app for all your music. So we hold it down.
And that puts us down the home stretch here. And boy, do I have a few held back for you. Beginning with the creature call out of North Carolina. Now, if you're outside listening to this and it's already dark out, you might want to flip on a lantern. Tyler, welcome to tonight's program.
Hey, Derek, this is Tyler calling in from Raleigh, North Carolina. My story takes place back in my hometown of Arkansas. Grew up in a small town outside of Little Rock, Greenbrier to be specific for anyone that's familiar. This took place, I was around 13, 14 years old. So it was around, 10 years ago. Like I said, I grew up in a small town. We were fortunate enough, growing up, we had like a rec center. So, all the guys there in the summer, we'd play football and we'd practice and whatnot. And after practice, we'd all go out, go play basketball for the rest of the day. And, like I said, this is during summer. So we spent most of the day there. So by the time we left the rec center, it would be, nighttime. A little backstory. My friend Austin and I, he was the one that I'd go play with and whatnot. We had a shortcut to the rec center from his house. It was through, some woods. I guess there was like some man-made trails from ATVs or, driving through it, whatever it was. You go through these woods, get about halfway. I'd say, if you took the main road, it was about 3 miles, 4 miles to the rec center. If you cut through these woods, it was like a mile and a half. So about halfway through the woods, there's this old van. And it was like an old, like hippie van is what we all called it. And, there was graffiti and whatnot all over it. There was always a rumor that there was like a wild man out in the woods that lived in the van. And every now and then, this rumor kind of stemmed from the fact that people were, every now and then you'd find like animal carcasses, like small animal carcasses, like rabbit, squirrel, whatever it was, there were animal carcasses and it seemed to be near this van. Well, we always try to be cool and, like we're at that age where, stuff like that, we didn't believe it. It wasn't, we're tough guys, whatever. So we kind of blew it off. Well, one night, we're playing at the rec center and, it's like 8, 9 o'clock. It had been dark for a little bit and they close it down. And Austin and I, we go to leave. So we're taking the shortcut through the woods and, we get to like that halfway point. And right before you get to the van, there's like this clearing and it was almost like large, like power lines that they had run through. So, it was a pretty good, I'd say 30 or 40 yard clearing that they had cleared out years ago to put in, power lines fed the city. So we get to this clearing and, we're about to go past it and Austin stops me. He's like, look, man, do you see that? And at first I don't see what he's talking about. It's dark. You can kind of make out the other side, but the moonlight's just starting to reflect everything. And man, I look across and peering out from behind a tree. The only way I know to describe it is it was this really tall, I couldn't make out a face, but it was tall, like pale. It looked like it was just skin and bone peering out behind this tree at us. It doesn't take long for us to react. We see this thing and we book it. So we're cutting across to try to get back to like the main street and we're cutting through woods and we're looking behind us. We don't see anything behind us, so we kind of slow down. We get to the main street and, I mentioned I lived in a small town. It was small, but it was big enough. We had like a McDonald's, like a shopping center, O'Reilly's. There was small shops here and there. So, the street had sidewalks. It was well lit. But we get to the main street and it's just like eerie, dead, silent. No one is out there. And mind you, this is summertime. So this is strange. So, we get this eerie feeling and we kind of shake it off. We don't see the thing. It didn't follow us, yet. And so we're walking on the sidewalk. I said we get, you know, another mile up the road. You know, we're getting close to his house. And we come up, you know, where the street lights kind of cut off. And there was this old, like, salvage yard with the tall picket fence for, like, where they'd store everything in the back. Taps me on the shoulder. We look over. This thing is, like, peering over this fence at us. And this fence, I'd say, is at least 6 foot tall. And its head is fully clearing it. There was not enough light reflecting on it to where I could see its face or make out, like, eyes or a mouth. But the only way I know to describe it, if you've seen, like, the old pictures of Slender Man, you know, just like a faceless, gray, pale, pole thing. Obviously, it wasn't wearing, like, the suit. It was naked, from what I could tell. Yeah, man, so we book it home. We told his grandmother, and you know, I think she believed us. But, you know, nothing ever came of it. But long story short, we never took the shortcut again to the rec center. We walked the long way. But, yeah, figured I'd share it, man. I've never told anyone the story. You know, I didn't think many people would believe me. So I'm glad that you guys have this community, you know, that we can share this kind of stuff. Love the podcast. Love what you do. Keep it up, man. Thanks.
Thanks, Tyler. Eerie stuff. And from the sounds of things, you had yourself an encounter with one of those dreaded pale crawlers. And what a worse place to have an encounter like that. In the middle of the woods, a mile or more from not only a house, but a road even. Not the kind of place where you want to have a pale crawler run in. But I wonder, was the van somehow related to the story? Were those overhead power lines somehow related to the monster? And how did this thing find the boys later in the evening? I can only assume that it was stalking them in that abandoned street. Did everyone else somehow know not to go out that night? Lots to ponder. And while we ponder, allow me to read another Tar Heel encounter with these tall, pale creatures. The following is a report submitted to Lon Strickler via his Phantoms and Monsters website. I live in North Carolina, Durham specifically. My family lives in a standard two-story house in the middle of a run-of-the-mill neighborhood. The evening went fine. I watched a movie to pass the time. I then took the dog out to use the bathroom before being put up for the night. Around 12 or 1 a.m., I took her out the back garage door with her long leash. I was wearing socks and didn't feel like getting my feet wet. She usually does her business in that little clearing between the kennel and the garage, so I let her walk through it. Our garage has a single light on the back wall, not LED or really that bright even, so I can see her somewhat while she does it. She's facing me when suddenly her backside lifts almost 1 or 2 feet into the air. Now I assume some wild dog or something had tried to drag her. So she runs back to me and I hear rustling among the rocks, and this figure stops right as it enters visible view into the light. I've never seen anything like it in my life. It was tall. I'm 6'2", and I had to look slightly up to see where I thought its head was. He was pale, but not white or gray. Just a normal pale flesh color, like someone who spends a week or two indoors. He was lanky, not really anorexic or anything, but definitely disproportionate. He looked at me for a good 1 or 2 seconds before it backtracked in the quickest manner I could ever replicate. As soon as it went, I booked it back inside. It tried to take the dog. Now, I will admit, I don't put a ton of stock in the existence of these white weirdos. But I will also admit that almost all the descriptions that we receive are exactly the same. They come from similar parts of the country, and they almost all sound believable. So at the very least, these witnesses are seeing something they can't identify. Is it the subterranean terror that we all suspect? Well, that's not for me to decide. But I am out of time for the evening. But I want to thank you, Tyler, once again for calling in. and to thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you being here. Now, Monsters Among Us is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes and Delaney Bowers. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Like us on socials, like us on YouTube. And be sure to visit unxnetwork.com every Saturday night at 11 p.m. Eastern to catch the show digitally on their network. And finally, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Code.AG Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Now, if you'd like to hear more Monsters Among Us, stick around until all the credits, ads, and outros are finished, and I'll help set you up. Otherwise, spooky season is right around the corner, folks. You best get prepared. And until then, have a good night.
The two right lanes are still shut.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at coda.com.
Hey, like, hey, have you ever made a mistake?
Total savings. Here's the deal. Pay just $1.
Now tonight's secret entry could either detail a wild coincidence, or it could be proof of the afterlife. Please welcome Danielle from Virginia to tonight's program.
Hi, Derek. My name is Danielle. I'm calling from Virginia. This story happened in Reuther Glen, Virginia. My husband and some friends and I were sitting out in around October. So it was a little bit chilly outside. And we had all been smoking the devil's lettuce. And we were sitting out at the campfire. And, you know, it was just a nice quiet evening. We were in a nice wooded area at our friend's house, and we were sitting out. My dog was sitting with us, and we all started sitting there listening to the fire, and we said, hey, we should play some music while we sit here and have fun and enjoy each other's company. So as we were sitting there, my friend said, hey, what type of music would you guys like to listen to? And I said, we're sitting out here in nature, I would love to listen to some Native American flute music. So as I said that, she started scrolling on her phone, and she looked to my husband and I at her on her left side and said, what do you guys want to hear again? And both of us looked at her and said, what you're playing right now is fine. And she kind of looked at us with a puzzled look, and so did her husband, who was sitting to our right side. And we both said, yeah, what you're playing right now is totally fine. And it's pitch black outside. Like, we can't see anything. Like, it's very dark October night. And she goes, I'm not playing anything yet. And we both kind of look to her and we say, you don't hear that flute music? And we look at our friend Max and we say, you don't hear that flute? And they're both like, no, what are you talking about? So my husband and I both point to the same direction. to our left. So we're there sitting. We say, we hear flute music right there. And then as soon as we said that, it completely stopped. So both of us had heard the Native American flute music. And in the area in Virginia where we live, there's lots of Native American history. And the funny part is both my husband and I actually have Native American in our bloodline, but the two friends that we were with don't, or at least one of them doesn't. So it was crazy that both of us heard it at the exact same time. Like, our friends did not hear it at all. And we fully 100% believed that she was playing the Native American flute music. And then basically after that, they got freaked out and they went back inside. But we really love the show, Derek. We listen to it every time we go on an adventure. Whenever we go on car rides, we listen to your podcast. So we love it. Thank you so much, Derek. We appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Danielle. See, this could just be a coincidence. Maybe someone across the way was having their own fire, heard Danielle's request, then decided to play that style of music on their own speaker. Maybe as a joke. Or, like I said, this could be a disembodied musical remnant from a near-forgotten civilization. An echo from the past. Or just ghostly tunes, if you will. Now I'll let you decide which is which, but I will leave you with this question. If you were at a campfire and you heard music coming from the darkened woodline, would you go and investigate? Now, thank you again, Danielle, for sharing that entry. Now, folks, if you would, join me in the beyond. If you don't have your ticket, simply visit patreon.com and search for Monsters Among Us podcast. Join the $1 level for ad-free programming and the $5 level for all the bonus content, including the back half of this episode. It's over in the beyond that I share calls like Sam's out of the state of Kansas.
Hi, I'm Sam, and I'm from Kansas, Southeast Kansas, actually. You know, I have a grandma, and she's in her 90s now, and she's just been more open in the last, I'd say, 10 years about just her views on life and death, and, you know, just a lot of things have come up that haven't ever came up before, but makes a lot of sense looking back on my life. So there's a ton of stories, really, to be quite honest, but the most incredibly scary story that has ever happened in the house that I can imagine happened when shortly after we switched around my grandma's room. This is probably, I was probably 12, so this has been about, you know, a long time ago, and grandma was laying in bed, and she saw a figure of a man walk into her room, which there is a open bathroom. Her house was made in the 1920s, and there was like an open bathroom with no door, call bathtub, real old school. And she saw the man walk out, and she's like, man, I must be dreaming. So she just...
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right Rug.